Be very, very quiet. Elmer Fudd is hunting rabbits. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Are you eyeballing this Medicare podcast, boy? His baby does the hanky-panky. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, I'm back here to encourage Randy to work faster on that 2021 book. That's why we're here today. Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is what you've tuned into. And our new book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever, is going to be hitting the markets real soon, I hope. That's the goal. So instead of imparting all kinds of valuable Medicare knowledge, I'm going to be scattering little hints at Randy, like, come on, Randy, work faster, because he's the guy that makes the magic happen. Sure, I can have a bunch of thoughts, and I can put them down on paper. I can sharpen my pencil and use my eraser and send these things to Randy. He turns them into usable bits of electrons, usable zeros and ones that we can then have published as real books, or we can have sent to people's Kindles, and they can learn about Medicare after paying a very, very small entry fee to Amazon. And they keep most of the money, I got to tell you. There is no way to get rich writing books. I have to tell you that. Anyway, this is Doug Jones. You just heard Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, announce our arrival at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am theoretically a Medicare expert. You know, there are some who might disagree with that, and I certainly would not argue with them. I don't know everything there is to know, but I do like to pontificate. Finally found a subject I can pontificate on that few people will argue with me about. So that's pretty cool for me. And then I have a partner in pontification, Randy Carson, who does a lot of his own sort of specialized twiddling of knobs and sliding of slides and thinking of thoughts, and all of a sudden we wind up with a podcast. How are you, Randy?
I'm good. You had just mentioned that you're a Medicare expert.
Theoretically. I said theoretically.
I would like to announce for all to hear that I am not a Medicare expert.
I will say that you are much closer to being a Medicare expert than most of the people in the United States, just by osmosis.
You have taught me a lot, but there's occasions during each podcast that you still throw a loop, throw a left-hand corner at me, and I go, well, what? Okay, so you know how my mind works. Okay, my mind always goes to, well, what if? What if, what if that's happened?
Sure.
And you are very patient, and every time that I bore you with a question of such, you always very patiently answer me and then say, mute your mic.
I have to tell you, though, there is no such thing as a bad question. The reason that there's no such thing as a bad or stupid question is because if you weren't so inquisitive, if you didn't have intellectual curiosity, if you didn't keep asking questions, we'd have to hire somebody to sit there and ask questions. And I don't want to spend extra money that I don't have to. So keep up the questioning, and I'm quite happy to. And as you know, I'll make it up if I don't know the answer.
I definitely will keep asking the questions, because there's not any day that goes by that something, not necessarily Medicare, but there's no day goes by for some reason in my life that I don't have a question about something.
Well, that's good for you. I'm pleased to hear that. The interesting thing that occurs to me, we were talking about your recent influx of clientele and how some of them are fascinated with the opportunity to podcast. And now that you've got the podcasting engineering part down, Pat, you can provide that service for these people. But haven't they heard some episodes of ours and decided that they weren't capable of the crosstalk or the exchange of thoughts that you and I find so easy?
That's a great point. We have a reasonably good shtick now. And I think that we blend together pretty well on, in terms of how we go about it. We have used our podcast, your podcast and my podcast. I've had other customers of ours listen to it. And what I thought would be a real, oh, that's a real sales point. They don't care that I know how to do it technically. What they're worried about is the fact they can't carry their end of the conversation.
Oh, boy, that's kind of sad. It wasn't somebody suggesting that they script every word that you say and every
yes,
word that they say?
Yes, and we've tried that. It was miserable.
I thought it might be.
It was like, and what do you think about that, Doug?
Oh, boy. You know, I laugh because I'm happy to have something that you and I can do well together because, you know, it's unfortunate that I bet a lot of the problems with people doing that is just lack of confidence.
Well, it is.
Is that possible?
Well, yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. And I keep telling them, you know, we're going to get better. Doug and I were, you know, rocky at first, and then we got better. And the fact of the matter is they don't have the confidence, I think is the right term. They don't have the confidence just to jump in there and go for it. Because bottom line is the more you think about it, you know, in terms of, oh, am I going to be able to do this? The less likely you are to be able to sound like you're going through it just kind of smoothly.
Exactly. I start every episode without a thought in my head as to what's going to be said after you tell me, you know, you're ready to go. We're recording now. And the only way I have a time to think about what I'm going to say is to count backwards from three. And that's the only time I give thought to what I'm going to say next. And sometimes, you know, because I listen to all of these things every few months, I'll start at one, and we're pretty bad in one and two, and maybe three was a little better. And we hit our stride after a few episodes, and we haven't really looked back. But when I listen to those older episodes, I realize that every time I start out the episode saying something different, and it's something I came up with 2 seconds before, you know, the recording started. So it's weird how the human mind works. And I think if some of your clients that are afraid of the podcasting results that they could come up with would understand that seat of your pants sometimes is the best way to go, they might be willing to give it another try.
Well, that's absolutely true, Doug, because, you know, in my life, when I'm like presenting,
yep,
you know, like in front of an audience or whatever the case may be,
sure,
people, they are somewhat shocked at what lack of preparation I do. I mean, I go in there. I mean, it's usually a topic that I'm an expert in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't feel any real need to prepare on the subject matter. And I don't go in really, I go in maybe with an 80,000 foot outline in terms of where I want to touch.
Right.
But if I go in with a detailed list,
I lose
it because I'm worried about following the list.
Well, sure. And if you miss a line, it's going to sound weird. Hey, that didn't make any sense. I was part of a panel when I was in high school, and there were all these hot girls in this audience, and I had to give a presentation. And I had it all written out ahead of time, thinking that that was the responsible thing to do. And something funny happened, and I went into uncontrollable gales of laughter. And people looked at me like I was insane. But then what I did was I took my notes and I wadded them up and I threw them back over my head.
Yeah.
And that got big, big laughs from the audience. And from then on, I was completely relaxed. Didn't have my notes in front of me. Had a vague idea of what I wanted to say. But the act of me, you know, breaking up and then throwing away my notes and working off the cuff after that was a crowd pleaser. Can't say it always would be, but that worked for me at the time.
Well, the other aspect of presenting, and that's really what we're doing here is presenting, is that you have to react. You in order to seem real, mm-hmm. you have to react to the situation at some level. Otherwise, you do sound scripted. And for me, scripted is, I sound terrible in a scripted situation.
I'm pretty sure I would too, because frankly, you're just trying too hard instead of letting it flow.
Yeah, I mean, you're acting then. It's like, I was out the other day, and then I went and saw this, and oh my God.
Yeah. We don't want that, because that's the, we're going to hear the stampede of the audience running out the door.
So you can tell why I don't make my living acting.
Yeah. Well, you're acting just fine as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, I wanted to just hit a couple of high points. And of course I lost one of my high points. It's a good thing we're not on video, because you'd see me searching for one of the pieces of paper I wanted to refer to today. In our Medicare aspect of the show. And, oh, yeah, here it is. It's an email that poured in, and I didn't put it in the mailbox because, frankly, one of the reasons I'm so anxious to get back to our regular mailbag entry is I had a theory a while back that with our questionnaire on the website that people fill out and send in, that we don't get the interesting input. That if people will write us emails, we're going to get something more interesting and we can talk about their particular situation. And so I was very concerned that increasing our efficiency would remove interesting content from our podcast. But you and I have been burning off episodes that we had built up, so we haven't really podcasted for a couple of weeks. And I noticed last night, or a couple of nights ago, I guess, that my giant clip that I keep the mailbag clipped together with, this big old clip right here, I am not strong enough to open that clip up anymore. We have so much stuff in the mailbag that the big clip that I keep it all together with is too hard for me to open wide.
Well, you know there is a bigger clip, Doug.
Well, there must be, but I've got a lot of smaller ones, and this one seems pretty big.
There's much bigger ones. You have to have the hand strength of a gorilla to open it. But
well, okay. But anyway, so somebody wrote, and I didn't put this in the mailbag, but somebody wrote and said, are you publishing a new guide for 2021? If yes, when will it be available? And of course, I had to respond by saying, we are working feverishly on the 2021 edition right now. Don't make me a liar, Randy. Don't make me a liar.
Feverishly? Oh my God. He's working me burning like up. a $4 mule. Oh my God. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, but I sloughed off some of the blame onto Amazon. I said, if Amazon cooperates, I hope to have it on sale. And I said in a week or so, but I think that just gives us a little time so people aren't yelling at us. I really am hoping that Amazon can get their part of the job done better than they did last year with the audio book. Remember how we put the audiobook in on January 27th? I remember that because it's my birthday. And it was April 22nd before the audiobook went on sale.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it took forever. So I do have one thing. I know you're getting ready to do some Medicare stuff.
That's why we're all here, including the audience, thousands of audience members.
Yes, I know. I just wanted to mention the fact I'm looking at your episode notes.
Uh-huh.
For today, and it's described as the pitfalls of Medicare Advantage plans. Can I rename it?
Please do.
I would like to call it the December 2020 Medicare Advantage Smackdown episode.
Okay, you're going to have to repeat that slowly, because it's going to take me a while to write all that at the top of the page. Okay, it starts with...
The Medicare December 2020 Medicare Advantage Smackdown episode. You know, like WWC, you know, Smackdown.
How do you spell Smackdown?
Smack.
Oh, no, that's the part I didn't get. Okay.
Smackdown.
Episode, right?
Yeah. You can tell I'm, over the course of the time working with you, I'm developing a larger and larger dislike, if that was possible, for Medicare Advantage plans.
Well, you just wait, Buster, because we're going to be reading about the pitfalls of Medicare Advantage plans. You think you don't like them now. Imagine how you're going to feel after we get this done. But first, news announcement. This is big news. If you are covered by a Medicare disadvantage plan in Ohio, issued by Medical Mutual. Now, my understanding is that Medical Mutual is a locally well-respected Medicare insurance company in Ohio, and we don't use them because they don't even have Medicare high-value Plan G, so they're dead to me. However, I'm still on their mailing list, and they just sent me a real important announcement that Unity Health, which is some sort of chain of, let's see, Unity Health Network, a multi-specialty physician group with locations in Summit, Portage, Medina, and Stark counties in Ohio, as a result of their inability to reach an agreement with the insurance company, Medical Mutual, which used to be Blue Cross Blue Shield of Ohio, I guess, they will not be participating. They will not be servicing members of Medical Mutual's Medicare disadvantage plans going forward because they are not happy with the amount of pay they were getting, I guess. And so they've torn up their contract, torn it up and thrown it away. So once again, Medicare Advantage plan bites the dust.
What do you haven't we heard that story before, Doug?
It's getting a little boring, Randy.
wasn't there a big medical group in Florida that told everybody to take a hike?
Yeah, it was Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. And that was a biggie. But you know something? They came crawling back. So they did tell everybody to take a hike, and somehow an agreement was eventually reached.
So they just wanted to leverage their position.
Like any other
shyster Medicare disadvantage plan.
Somebody had to blink, and I don't know who blinked first, but it was Anthem and the that big hospital chain with a million doctors in it. One of those two blinked first, and they did manage to resolve their differences. But this is what happens with Medicare Advantage plans. You can say, all right, I'm going to stick with this plan. They force you to stay in it a whole year. So you are in the plan, and then let's say February comes around and your doctor decides he doesn't want to be in the plan anymore. You can just walk away. Or let's say you've got some.
I got a bet to make.
All right.
And this goes out nationwide on our podcast.
Oh, boy. Now I got to stick to it.
I will be willing to buy you lunch if the company in Ohio they're not using this as a piece of leverage to up their price and actually goes crawling back and says, oh, we forgot, you know, we really like you guys. No, you can still use our plan.
Remember the name Unity Health Network.
And Health Network.
Because this announcement came to me in November. It is now December. And if I don't get an announcement rescinding the earlier announcement, then one of us will have won the bet. What I can't figure out is which way were you betting?
The way I'm betting is that they will come crawling back. They're just using this as leverage.
Okay, I'll take the other half of that bet.
And you're going to take the other half of that bet? All right.
Right. So now the other bet is if we can't find a legal place to eat lunch before like next year, then the bet's off.
You and I will find some place to eat, even if we have to crawl through Cave Creek.
Broken glass.
On our hands and knees through broken glass and throwing masks aside, we will find some place to eat.
Okay, I'm down for that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to scan an article entitled Pitfalls of Medicare Advantage Plans. And it's written by Lila Epstein, and it was written in April of this year. The interesting thing about this article is it's 4 pages long, and I have been messing around, and you might have heard Randy and I talk about lack of preparation earlier as being advantageous. Well, I hope it is, because I haven't even looked at this darn thing. What I'm going to be reading is just what I see on the page before me right now. And so I'm skipping this and I'm skipping that. And so we get down to key takeaways. This is a section of the article, key takeaways. A Medicare Advantage plan is known as Medicare Part C. For those of you who aren't familiar with Medicare Advantage plans, the two big Medicare protections that you can get, once you have Medicare Part A and Part B, you still leave a lot of money on the table. For instance, if you get a lot of outpatient treatment, Medicare is only going to pay 80% of your expenses, and the other 20% is going to come right out of your pocket unless you have a Medicare plan. And it's been proposed by numbers crunchers that if you have the worst possible case scenario, if you have everything that could go wrong going wrong in a given year, you could be up to $900,000 in debt if all of your medical treatment falls at, in certain time frames and at the worst possible percentages and all that stuff. It's remotely possible that a person could incur $900,000 in just co-insurance if all they had was Medicare. So it behooves people to have a Medicare plan to fill in the gaps in Medicare. And that would be either a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage. So Randy and I do not propose Medicare Advantage as being advantageous for most people. We say that Medicare supplement is the way to go. And this article here says, here are some pitfalls of Medicare Advantage plans that maybe you hadn't thought about. So what is a Medicare Advantage plan? It's often referred to as Part C of Medicare. It came along after Medicare was established in 1966. All Medicare Advantage providers must accept Medicare-eligible enrollees. Sick participants may find that medical care costs skyrocket under a Medicare Advantage plan due to co-payments and out-of-pocket expenses. What I say in my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020 and 2021, is that Medicare Advantage plans are perfectly fine until you need to use them. And that's when you're going to start paying big bucks, because they don't make you pay so much up front. You have to pay in the back if you wind up getting sick and needing a lot of treatment. You have to share the cost of that treatment. So Medicare Advantage customers can switch back to original Medicare during an annual enrollment period. So that's not a problem. The problem is if you're already sick, you're not going to be able to get a plan to protect you from the portions, the percentages of your medical expenses that Medicare doesn't cover. Like, for instance, that 20% of outpatient costs. And then it says here, prospective Medicare Advantage customers should research plans, copays, out-of-pocket costs, and eligible providers. It's rare to find somebody who does that, because if somebody did all that research, they would either, I want to say this gently, they would either commit Harry Caray, or they would finally break down and hire a trusted insurance advisor to do the research for them. And a trustworthy, trusted advisor would say, forget Medicare Advantage plans. The simplest, most straightforward, and most effective coverage is Medicare supplement plan. So I'm switching back and forth between Lida Epstein's article and my pontification here, my editorialization. So we'll skip the basic parts and we'll go to disadvantages of Medicare Advantage plans. In general, Medicare Advantage plans do not offer the same level of choice as Medicare plans. And they also call Medicare supplements Medigap. Most plans require you to go to their network of doctors and health providers. There's only one Medicare Advantage plan I know of that doesn't require that. And that's a completely different animal called a MSA, a Medicare savings account or medical savings account. Now, since Medicare Advantage plans cannot pick their customers, they must accept any Medicare eligible participant. They discourage people who are sick by the way they structure their co-pays and their deductibles. Now, that's kind of interesting, because you might be healthy when you sign up for the plan, but if you get sick, if you come down with cancer or some kind of weird disease after you're in the plan, you might find it to be very disadvantageous. You might find that you're going to be reaching deep in your pocket for your share of the costs. So Author Wendell Potter explains how many Medicare Advantage enrollees don't find out about the limitations of their plans until they get sick. This is Wendell Potter talking here. Although mom saw her Medicare Advantage premiums increase significantly over the years, she didn't have any real motivation to disenroll after she broke her hip and required skilled care in a nursing facility. This is Wendell Potter's mother we're talking about here. After a few days, the nursing home administrator told her that if she stayed there, she would have to pay for everything out of her own pocket. Why? Because a utilization review nurse at her Medicare Advantage plan, who had never seen or examined her, decided that the care she was receiving was no longer medically necessary. The plan decides what's medically necessary, not any government phalanx of expert. It's all kind of seat of the pants. So to further quote Mr. Potter, because there are no commonly used criteria as to what constitutes medical necessity, insurers have wide discretion in determining what they will pay for and what they will stop paying for services like skilled nursing care. And just they do that by decreeing it. They do that by decreeing the nursing care custodial. Custodial care is not typically compensated by insurance or by Medicare, only skilled care. So then to go on with this article, to see how a Medicare Advantage plan cherry picks its patients, carefully review the copays in the summary of benefits for every plan you're considering. To give you an example of the types of copays you may find, here are some details of in-network services from a popular, and I'm going to withhold the name of the insurance company, a popular plan, a Medicare Advantage plan in Florida. One of the big, big, big insurance companies provides this plan in Florida, and they say it's a popular plan. Ambulance, $300. Hospital stay, $175 per day for the first 10 days. Diabetes supplies, up to 20% copay. Diagnostic radiology, up to $125 copay. Lab services, up to $100 copay. Outpatient x-rays, up to $100 copay. Therapeutic radiology, $35 or up to 20% copay. Renal dialysis, 20% of the cost. As this non-exhaustive list of the companies demonstrate, out-of-pocket costs will quickly build up over the year if you get sick. The Medicare Advantage plan may offer a $0 premium, but the out-of-pocket surprises may not be worth these initial savings if you get sick. The best candidate for a Medicare Advantage plan is someone who's healthy. We see trouble when somebody gets sick. And then here's a section of the article entitled Switching Back to Original Medicare. While you can save money with a Medicare Advantage plan when you are healthy, if you get sick in the middle of the year, you are stuck with whatever cost you incur until you can switch back to Medicare. Let's see, during the next open season. At that time, you can switch to an original Medicare plan with Medigap. Well, that's a little misleading because most people in the United States have to qualify by showing evidence of good health before they can get a Medigap or a Medicare supplement plan. But you can switch back to original Medicare under certain conditions without nearly so many hoops to jump through. So if you do, keep in mind that the Medigap plan may charge you a higher rate than if you had enrolled in the Medigap policy when you first qualified for Medicare. Most Medigap policies are issue age related or attained age rated. This means that when you sign up later in life, you will pay more money per month than if you had started with the Medicare plan at age 65. You may be able to find a policy that has no age rating, but those are rare. Okay, well, that's getting into the esoteric part of rating. Frankly, my attitude is that most companies are going to charge you whatever they need to charge you to make a profit because they're not in business to be money-losing operations. So then we come to more disadvantages of Medicare Advantage plans. In 2012, this is quite a long time ago, a doctor, former president of a medical society in Florida, pointed out a host of potential problems he encountered. But, you know, that was 2012. One might say that maybe they fixed all those problems. So rather than delve too deeply into that, we go to the CARES Act of 2020. President Trump signed a $2 trillion coronavirus emergency stimulus package, okay, called CARES Act. And it expands Medicare's ability to cover treatment and services for those affected by coronavirus, the Wuhan flu. The bottom line, shop very carefully if you're thinking about using Medicare Advantage plan. Be sure to read the fine print. Get a comprehensive list of all copays and deductibles. Nobody's going to do any of this. Here's a whole list of advice, and nobody's going to do any of that because most people aren't that picky-unish or interested in the minutia. They will wait until something bad happens and then scream bloody murder, or they will hire an agent who may or may not have some skin in the game when it comes to a Medicare Advantage plan. One of the things with agents is Medicare Advantage plans pay bigger premium or bigger commission than Medicare supplements do. With a Medicare Advantage plan, you get a flat amount. Like when somebody comes in to Medicare for the first time, they age in at age 65 or they retire from their job, the commission is going to be upwards of like $600 for the year. Medicare supplement would be a percentage of the premium that somebody has paid. Now, I often advise people to buy a high-value Medicare supplement that costs maybe $37, $40, $43, $45 a month. And if I'm making 10% of that particular monthly premium, then I'm obviously making a lot less money with each sale than the Medicare Advantage plan agent is. But will my client be happier into the future? Absolutely. Will my client have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of potential risk of cost sharing? Nope. At the most, probably around $1,200 with a high value or high deductible plan. After they subtract the money they've saved in lower premiums, you're looking at a very manageable risk. And if they never get sick, they will have been socking money away for years and years and having more fun and with less stress. But anyway, so that's pretty much it. I see Randy looking at his watch, looking at all the clocks he's got around his office. And frankly, I realize I've overstayed my welcome.
We're running short of steam here, but I do have one thought, maybe two thoughts I want to add.
Pick the funniest one and lay it on me.
You know why they call it Medicare Part C, right?
I don't know why. Well, crap. I do know why, but...
It's crap, okay?
There you go. I like that one. What's that other thought?
So the other thought was, is the only way that anybody should be allowed to sell a Medicare Advantage plan is in Vegas, okay? They need, because obviously if you're going to buy a Medicare Advantage plan, you can't predict the future. You can't predict, you know, whether you're going to be well. You can't predict whether you're going to get sick. None of that. But if you like that kind of a bet, go to Vegas and you should be able to buy a Medicare Advantage plan of your choice at the roulette wheel.
Just pick a color, pick a number, and yep. Let's see if you come up a winner.
That's right. And whatever number you get, that's going to be your number for the rest of your life because you won't be able to get out of it, just like you can't get out of a bad car lease.
Well, that's true. If you fail to comply with the rules, then you're going to be refused the opportunity to better your insurance coverage. So the way to do that is to make the right choice when you get started in Medicare, not to change your mind down the road because your options may go away if you've lost your good health.
Yes. And if you're dealing with, now I'm not besmirching any young agents, okay? I'm just not. But if your agent looks like they're not old enough to smoke yet, I wouldn't recommend trusting them for their advice on Medicare of any sort.
I remember you used the word besmirch on an episode, about 20 episodes back, and you referred to my besmirching your random number generator. So frankly, what goes around comes around, Randy, and you used the word besmirched to great effect there.
Yes, we definitely, my random number generator has improved, but it still leans toward my favorite stuff.
I guess that's a bias that we're never going to be able to breed out of it.
There's definitely a bias to it, but right now it's working pretty well, I think.
Because I like everyone I hear.
Drew just cracks me up. I have to listen to his stuff. Occasionally, I just listen to the stuff. Even though I've heard it several times, it cracks me up.
Well, I had to take a picture of Drew because his pregnant wife is very concerned about his exposure to the Wuhan flu. I had to take a picture of Drew with his mask on, standing 6 feet away from my wife. some family next to his 5-liter Mustang convertible rental car the other day when he popped in for a visit. So he's a fun guy, and often I see him wrapped in his American flag and his American paraphernalia. And I'm just a lucky guy to have Drew and his brother Robbie, his sister Kate, and their mother is my favorite sister. Now my other sister's going to get all over me about that. Come on.
So, she can't do any worse than second.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. First or second, it's almost a dead heat.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So if Drew ever gets out here to Arizona, I really need to spend time with Drew because I've never met him personally, but that smile on his face, you sent me a text with a picture of Drew holding a recorder and him with a smile on his face, and I just thought that is a guy I want to spend some time with.
Yeah, he's a fun guy, but you got to give it to his parents. They have raised 3 fun kids. They're all like that. So I wish I could think of something for the others to do to make a contribution. I think they might be a little smarter than Drew, because you remember how Drew worked for free virtually forever? I don't think they're ever.
No, don't. No, shh. You don't talk
about
that. I don't
think the other two are going to fall for that. No, I shouldn't.
Well, we've thought about the process of getting some, regular participative characters.
Yes.
Similar to Larry the Cable Guy, only something for Medicare.
Right. Canadian Cable Guys.
Canadian Cable Guy.
There and you can go.
You can have Canadian Cable Girl.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'm going to pitch that at our next family gathering and see how they like it.
So speaking of Canadians, I got a story to tell you about Canadians, and then we probably better land the plane. There was a story on Facebook the other day that said there's polite, and then there's Canadian polite. Now, this is a true story. There was a guy that was at a gas station or a truck stop or something, and there was a mother and her 3 children, 2 dogs, a cat, and I don't know what all else, and her truck had broken down trying to pull a U-Haul up to wherever they were going. This Canadian fella, bless his heart, met him or ran into him or met them somehow and was interacting with them, and he heard this story. So what did he do? He put their truck off to the side, he hooked his pickup onto it, and he hauled them to Alaska for 1,000 miles.
Okay.
And he did that just by the goodness of his heart.
Come on, there's a punchline in there somewhere, isn't there?
No.
That's
where it ends right there. I just wanted to let you know that Canadians are very special people, especially Drew.
Jeez, they make us look bad. What is wrong with them?
Why can't I don't know.
Oh, man. All right, let's get out of here.
All right. So anyway, thank you for joining us today. We certainly appreciate it. You have
Watch
just
for the
been
new book.
About... Yeah, the new book. Watch for the new book. You got to have it. And Doug is beating me like a $4 mule here, so I better get it done.
Absolutely.
And we should have it done in the next day or two, at least to the next level of publication. So anyway, thanks for joining us. Come back again next time. We're looking forward to it. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, kid from Oklahoma, and sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.